Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And we come today to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. And verses 11 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2 form a section by itself. And I believe that this section has been kind of neglected because of what I believe to be a wrong interpretation of it, a wrong thrust. Ephesians chapter 2, let me just come right out and say, I believe that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22 is a God wiping out a division among two groups of Jewish people. Now, normally people will interpret Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 19, a God wiping out distinction between Jew and Gentile, in the common meaning of that term, but I don't believe that's the case here. I believe what we're dealing with here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, is God wiping out a division among two groups of Jewish people. Now, one thing that's very important it is something we really need to understand and get a hold of in the study of the Scriptures is we need to understand the historical division between the two groups of Jewish people. And it goes all the way back to the early days, to the days of Joshua, when the two and a half tribes, Reuben, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh, back in Joshua 22, when they didn't cross over into the Promised Land with the rest of their brethren, they were so nervous about that. After they settled in their land, they decided, hey, we have to build this big altar, a huge one that looks just like the one in the tabernacle, lest future generations of our brethren on the other side of the Jordan say, hey, you guys have no part in this because this river separates us. And so they realized that in the future, just that division, not being in the Promised Land, would cause problems among brethren. And you can read Joshua chapter 22 for that. Also, there's other passages, for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 15. You can look that up on your own, where Jews are telling other Jews, hey, you guys outside the land are no good. You guys get out of here. You go serve other gods. They told that to David even in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 19. So if you want to read on your own, you can see the animosity that developed between these groups in Israel in Ezekiel 11:15, Joshua 22, and 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 19. And so in those passages, we see Jews speaking to their fellow Jews, those who are afar off. That's the language used in Ezekiel 11:15. Read that whole section there. You'll see that there's this great division between these two groups in Israel. And it was a division that developed over time, and it got pretty heated to a point where the Jews in the land despised those outside the land. In John chapter 7, verse 35, we read something fascinating there where, and I'll turn there real quickly, John chapter 7, verse 35 is the verse I want to look at, but I want to back up. In verse 33, Jesus said unto them, it's the Pharisees, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me, yet ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. Now notice this. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Now notice that. They were labeling Jews among the dispersion as Greeks. They were totally identifying them with Greeks. He wasn't, I don't think the Jews here were referring to him going among bare Gentiles. They were thinking he was going among those of the dispersion and teaching them. In John chapter 11, we see something. John chapter 11, and I want to point this out real quick. John chapter 11, in verses 51 and 52. 51 and 52. The Lord, we see this regarding the... Caiaphas' words there, you'll have to read it on your own. Verse 51, it says, and this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, referring to Israel, and not for that nation only, but also that also he should gather together in one the children of God which were scattered abroad. Those are the scattered Israelites, you see? And so there was this division that developed. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, as we see on that that day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 39, we see the following words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, all that are far off. These are referring to the Jews outside the land. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's referring to Israelites there. And so these are those who are far off. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read about those who are far off. And it's typically interpreted as Gentiles. But I want to show you as we go through this passage, it's not referring to Gentiles. It's referring to those among the dispersion who were Jews. So let's start right off now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and see what grace, that this grace, this amazing grace we've been talking about in Ephesians chapter 1, through 2 verse 10 thus far, we can see what that this same grace that does what we've studied thus far also has the power to wipe out a division, a long division that existed among two groups of Jewish people. One more time, I want to just say this again. Remember, the 10 tribes went into captivity. And remember, Jeremiah told them to settle down and to get along where they were at. And they were these Jews among the dispersion. The 137th Psalm is a prayer of these exiles. They longed for Jerusalem, their city, and they longed to get back there. But remember, Jeremiah told them, hey, settle down. One day you'll get it back. But what happened was those who remained in the land started to look at those outside the land with contempt. And even in some of the rabbis said some pretty crazy things because remember, Jerusalem was their city, and the law was to be fulfilled in the land. They were to keep it there, but those outside the land couldn't do all those things because they weren't in the land. But some of the rabbis would say stuff like that: the very air of Palestine makes one wise. Imagine that, just the air itself. Another would say that to live in Palestine is equal to keeping the commandments and ensuring them the life to come. That's an amazing statement. So imagine what they felt of those who were outside the land. If it's the very air of Palestine and simply living in the land that makes you wise and assures you the life to come, what are they thinking about their Jewish brethren outside the land? Well, we know there was a great contempt that developed among these two groups of Israelites. All right, so now, in Ephesians chapter 2, let's dig right into verses 11 and 12. And I'm going to read them from the King James, then we're going to come back and make some comments. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that in that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." So that's how it reads in our King James Version. So let's go back and do some work on this. In verse 11, Paul starts off with wherefore. And I think this is connecting us with what just went before. And the fact is this, that the previous grace we've discussed thus far is able to eliminate a division among two groups of Israelites. So Paul says, wherefore, the King James says, remember, it's better, I think, pay close attention. So wherefore, pay close attention that ye, now who is the ye? Well, my opinion, the ye here is referring to the Jews in the dispersion, and I think the following context will bear that out. Ye Jews in the dispersion, and notice Paul doesn't say us, because Paul wasn't one of them. He's saying, wherefore, pay close attention that ye, Jews in the dispersion, once nations in the flesh. Now notice this phrase for a minute. This is the only occurrence of the phrase, nations in the flesh. This describes the difficulty of the dispersed Jews. This was how they were viewed by their brethren in Jerusalem, because it says, who are called foreskin. They were called foreskin by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So this specific group in Israel, the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, I think it's referring to a specific group, a group that had circumcision done on the eighth day in the land of promise, and they didn't do it outside the land. They were circumcised strictly in accord with the Mosaic code. So in verse, this phrase, nation of flesh, who are called foreskin, this was an insult that the proud Jews hurled at the Jews outside the land. The Jews called their exiled brethren this, nations in the flesh who are called foreskin. Those outside the land couldn't follow circumcision according to Moses, so they were given this title. They were described this way in a contemptible way because they couldn't follow the code properly. Now, in Acts chapter 11, verse 3, I want to read you this real quick. In Acts chapter 11, verse 3, it is referring to a Gentile here, but let's look at this. Acts chapter 11, verse 3. Paul, Peter, after he went into the house of Cornelius, he came back, and his brethren in Judea, you know, were very upset with him. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, it says in verse 2, they were of the circumcision, contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest to men uncircumcised and did eat with them." Now, I want you to notice that. To men uncircumcised. Literally, it's men having foreskin. This is not a name-calling, but a fact. Cornelius is a man in his group were men without foreskin. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, it's a name being hurled at other Jews. They were called foreskin. Called foreskin. It was a contempt towards them. When it was referring to the Gentiles, men not having foreskin, it was just a fact. It's a fact of who they were. They had foreskin. But here in Ephesians chapter 2:11, it's Jews inside the land insulting those outside the land, their nations in the flesh called foreskin. Now let's continue. Verse 12. It says this, that in that season, not time, but season. This word season is a Greek word that means a short period with characteristics, and I believe it's referring to the gospel periods when the Lord Jesus ministered. Remember, when the Lord was here and ministering and going about doing good, the Lord ministered to those inside the land only. Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Go not into the way of the nations," and so forth. It was only for those inside the land. And as we saw in our studies and when we just a moment ago looked at John chapter 11, his death would later be used to gather those outside the land. But long as he was here ministering, there was a wall, a middle wall partition set up, and it was a season, one for a season, because it was in that season that you were without Christ, referring to the Jews outside the land. Now, I want you to think about something. Everyone was without Christ before he came. When he came, those inside the land had him. Those outside didn't, because, as we're just going to read, they were alienated. Let's look at this again now. That in that season, ye Jews outside in the dispersion, outside the land, were without Christ, having been alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now again, let me just say this. This is not referring to the bare unbelieving heathen and their condition and in their unsaved condition. No, this is referring to a problem among two groups of Jews. In that season, these Jews in the dispersion were without Christ because they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Why? Because they were outside the land. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in that system of things, that arrangement. When it says they had no expectation, it means their hope died. For those outside the land, for many of them, their hope died. But remember, it was revived again. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is addressing the Jews out in the dispersion. He says, you have a living hope now. Their hope died outside the land because they were outside and they were treated with contempt and so forth. But now it's being revived. Now, one other thing I want to make a comment here is that when it says being aliens, Gentiles were never alienated from Israel. You know why? Because a man can't be alienated from something he was never part of in the first place. A man can't be alienated from his wife unless he was married to her. And the Gentiles were never part of Israel, so they could never be alienated from them. All right, so let's go back and read verses 11 and 12 again. Wherefore, Paul says, this previous grace is going to heal this great division that exists among two groups in Israel. Pay close attention that you Jews in the dispersion, once nations in the flesh who are called or termed foreskin in a insulting way by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that season when Christ was here ministering, you were without him. Why? Because you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in that order of things, that arrangement. But now, verse 13, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, ye who were once far off are made nigh in the blood of the Christ. Now, first of all, it says here, you were once far off. People say, well, that's referring to the nations. That's got to be the Gentiles. They were far off. Well, we saw in verse 12 that the Gentiles, it couldn't be referred to the Gentiles because they were never alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But other Jews could have been because they were part of it. Here, it says, you were once far off. And I'm going to say, let me just say this. You ready? The nations were never far off from God. Turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 27. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, we read the following words. Verse 24, let's start there. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Let me repeat that. He be not far from every one of us. He's not far. The Gentiles aren't far off from God. Paul says they're not. So what is this referring to again? When you look at the context here once again and you understand this problem that existed between these two groups in Israel, it makes much more sense, in my opinion at least, that this is referring to the rift between two groups in Israel. The Gentiles weren't far off. However, these Jews and the dispersions were. Among the dispersion were. They were far off. They were alienated. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. And notice, when you think of the term blood, you think of the soul. The soul of all flesh is in the blood. In other words, it's referring to what he went through. He went through the agony to bring these two groups together in the blood of Christ. And then it says in verse 14, for he is our peace. And that word peace comes from a Greek word that means a true union. Christ is the link. Christ is the link to bring these groups in Israel together. For he is our peace, Paul says, who makes the both one, Israel near and far, and raises the middle wall, the barrier, having abolished the enmity in his flesh, even the law of command or precepts contained in decrees, for to create in himself of the two groups in Israel, I'm paraphrasing a little there, into one new man, so making peace. Remember, the Lord's life on earth only made the barrier stronger. He was only speaking to Jews inside the land. So when it says here, he abolished the enmity in his flesh, even the law of precepts contained in decrees, what are those referring to? It's not referring to the law, but to the temporary decrees in the days of his flesh, such as Matthew 10, verse 5, as we read, and John chapter 4, verse 22. So there were these decrees that made this separation, but they've been abolished. Why? So he can create in himself of the two groups in Israel into one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both. Notice both need to be reconciled. This word reconcile is stronger than the normal word for reconcile. This one is apokatalasso, which means a thorough and final change down along certain lines. It's the most intense form of this word. And so there's this great change that's taking place where these two groups are made one, and he might reconcile both unto God in one unit, we might say, through the cross, having slain the enmity in it. And he came and preached, the King James says, literally might say, and coming through his elected messengers, he proclaimed peace. Then again, this word peace here, a true union, to you which are far off, and to them which were nigh. And we saw in, when Peter, and he writes to the dispersion, and Paul goes out among the dispersion in the Acts period, and through these elected messengers, like Peter and Paul, they proclaimed this wonderful uniting of these two groups in Israel in Christ. This is what it's about. And this is what grace has done. And Paul goes on to say, for through him, we both have access in one spirit unto the Father. So this is God. Think about how comforting this is for those Jews who are outside the land, that they have access in one spirit unto the Father. And they don't have to take one step toward Jerusalem to have any better access. God is making perfect provision for them outside the land. The issue of them getting back into the land will take place when the kingdom of God comes. And that's a subject we'll be taking up in other studies. All right, now in verses 19 through 22, Paul is going to sum up everything he has just said. He's going to show us the results of the work of Christ relating to this matter at hand, this division between two groups in Israel. The work of Christ has forever settled it. So in verse 19, Paul says, "Now therefore, ye," referring to the far-off ones of the dispersion, "are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Can you imagine how encouraging this was for these Jewish brothers outside the land? They're fellow citizens and of the household of God, even though they're not in the land. Perfect provision has been made for them. And then it says, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." This is referring to all of God's commissioned ones. They are the foundation of God's household, all of God's commissioned ones. And it says, "Jesus Christ himself," and it's emphatic, the word "himself," being the chief capstone of the household. So this is such an assurance for these Jews outside the land, who've been labeled as foreskin and called nations in the flesh, and even in other times called Greeks, because of the fact that their location. And so here they're given this great courage that even though outside the land, they are being completely provided for through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief capstone of the household. And then it says, "in whom the entire building is being framed together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord." And that word temple there is the sacred part where God dwells. Now think about this for a minute. The Jews outside the land are being told that they're being built for the sacred place where God dwells. I'll talk more about that in a second. It says, "in whom ye also," you far off ones, "are builded together for a habitation of God in spirit." Now, I believe Paul is showing them the future, that when the kingdom of God comes, they will be the sphere of God's activity, just like the tabernacle where God dwelt, and that which was the sphere of his activity. In the kingdom of God, the saints will be the sphere of God's activity. And that's why it says a holy temple in the Lord. It's reference to their service, and the sphere, the believers are the sphere of God's activity. We talked a little bit about that when we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a little different angle on that, but if you recall our studies there, you can go back and listen another time. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, we see God once and for all wiping out the animosity that existed between two groups in Israel, and all because of the work of Jesus Christ. The grace of God, as we've been reading about in Ephesians, takes care of this animosity. All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick up in chapter 3 in our next study. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.